at it today. We had a week off or so, and we're excited to be back here. So we are going to talk about the inevitable, which is reactions to adversity, tough situations that we are all going to be put in life, in business, as an entrepreneur, so many different things. So how you react to that and how you look at those situations is going to definitely determine what the outcome is and how you can move forward from tough stuff. But we're all going to go through it, so just figuring out the best way to handle it is the way to go.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Entrepreneurial Juggernaut, better known as the EJ.
You said that fancy.
Yeah, it's a fancy word, and it's kind of tough to say, but in fact, try to say that three times real quick for me before we even get started. Go.
Entrepreneurial. Pretty good.
Right. It's definitely one of those words I really have to focus on when I say it, so I don't screw it up.
Yeah. Well, entrepreneurial is even a little bit like that doesn't flow in the middle quite there. So it's like being an entrepreneur. When you make it work, though, it's beautiful. Otherwise, people fail and quit and say it's too hard to say. It
gives me adversity.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, speaking of, let's talk today a little bit about this word adversity, because chances are that you're going to have a little bit of adversity as you develop your business, grow your business, create your business, start your business, for that matter, close your business. Whatever you're doing in business, there's going to be some challenges. And so today's topic is going to be just that. When you're faced with a problem, right, a challenge, something that sucks, something you didn't expect, oh shit, this is going to cost a lot of money type moment. Like, how do you respond to that? What do you do? Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of people throw their hands up in the air and say, I don't want to be an entrepreneur, right? It's fun when it's easy. When it's hard, it can be hard as hell. So I've seen that's when a lot of people buckle. And sometimes it's at the first sign. Other times it takes tougher versions of that. One commonality, though, from people that are getting it done is they don't buckle. And they kind of see that as an opportunity to show that you're better than the rest and shine. And I think that the way they process that, the way that you have to go through that, you know, there's a step process, I think, if you will, to make sure you're solving that challenge. So today, let's talk about that. So boom, challenge comes your way, employee quits, health department comes in. Well, who knows what happened? How do you start by addressing those concerns?
I think I didn't always do this when I had them, but I know more so now to try to look back at what did I screw up in that situation. So I think back when I was practicing early days, when a patient would want a refund or a patient was going to quit care, and it was just devastating. You're like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to give money back, or that family's quitting.
We don't have it.
So then I'm like, geez, what did I do poorly as a doctor there to start to look at how could I have kept that patient? What could I have done better there as an opportunity to grow through that? In the moment, you're freaking out. You're like, oh shit. But I've learned now, when these come across, there's got to be some lesson in there that I'm supposed to learn and look back on it. Then that made me take action steps from there. So for me, my first thing is, what did I screw up? I got to have what's the analogy? One finger pointing forward, three pointing backwards. Mm-hmm.
You know, so what's the thumb doing there?
I don't know what the thumb was doing.
Pointing up. It's God's fault. Okay. But, all
right. Trying to look back at myself, like, I messed something up there.
So. Yeah.
I think before even like looking back at everything though, you have to like live a little bit in the moment and just be like, okay, so here I am, whether it's an employee quits, you got to keep things moving forward as seamlessly as possible, depending on what it is. So just kind of getting all of the players who are still in the game and being like, okay, this is what we're going to do for now until we figure it out. Then after, you know, the day ends and you get through it, I think that's then you do what you just said, Brandon, kind of look back and see, where did this come from? Or did I not train this employee well? Like, why did they quit at this, or whatever the case is, depending on what situation you're in. But definitely have to sometimes just pick up the pieces where you're at and keep moving forward until you can figure out, you know, how to resolve what happened. So.
Yeah. And here's what I do. So I think that the first thing is, it depends on the problem. So sometimes you have to handle it right away. The police are out front or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be like, okay, I'm going to process this, then get to it later. Like, whatever it is. So get to the immediate concern, right? You're not going to solve it, but whatever you need to do immediately to solve whatever's going on, right? The angry patient, the employee that didn't show, like, fix it or patch it, if you will, to get through. And then just like take a breath, like figure out, like think through things. like, what's going on here? What really happened? You'll find that you panic at first and you get angry and mad and all that stuff.
Yep.
And then when you think through things, a lot of times you're like, you know what? I wanted that person gone anyway, whether that's a customer, a client, a patient, an employee. So sometimes you start to see the silver lining like a couple hours later, whereas you didn't in the moment. You're like, oh my God, I'm mad at everybody. But right now you're kind of like, all right, you know what? This may not be all that bad of a thing. It's going to suck up front. Here's how we can correct that and fix that. Part of that is looking like, how did I mess this up? What did I do? You know, did I hire wrong? Did I train wrong? Did I lead wrong? What happened here? Maybe I did nothing wrong. I did everything right, and this person just wasn't the right fit. So kind of process through things a bit. And if you're still in that pissed off, like worked up moment, you know, go for a run, go for a hike, go lift, go swim, go whatever you do that relaxes you, right? And just kind of chill out for a second and then start to like journal out a bit, you know? Okay, so here's the key components here. Here's what I need you to do to get out of this. Here's the good things that could come out of this. Here's the shit things that are coming out of this, and kind of figure it out. And then you can start to work out a plan. Essentially, you outline the problem. You start to realize here's some good things, here's some bad things. Then you get to go to work on that. That's what I do. And I think that as we work through today, us three can kind of talk about those different steps and maybe work, you know, through some real life examples that people have gone through.
I just had this happen like maybe a month ago where I had hired a doctor to come in. I was super excited about it. And like, not even 2 months in, like the person quits, moves on. I'm like, oh my God, what, you know? And I went through that moment of anger and then like disappointment and frustration. And, but I'm like, gosh, there's gotta be something here. And I started to look through some of the positives of it, of maybe this person wasn't ready. This maybe saved me thousands of dollars down the road to make this decision now. Maybe it was good that they didn't get a bunch of interaction with patients first. And then this decision came up. So I always try to, like you said, silver lining in it. What am I supposed to learn, universe? What are you teaching me right now that I have to learn or get better on? And that's tough to do. And like you said, initially, because you're pissed, you're angry, but, you know, so you got to decompress a second to actually maybe see the good in it.
Yeah. I think sometimes too, what can be really hard and make it hard for you to move on and move forward is when it's like, I feel like a lot of times when people face adversity, it's more than one thing at a time. Like when it rains, it pours a lot of times. And sometimes that's because of the first problem that happened, it kind of trickles down. So sometimes I think, you know, just taking a second, putting yourself in kind of time out, or what, like you said, whatever way that you can process things and chill out a little bit before handling it helps a lot.
Well, and I think sometimes people get into that negative headspace where they're looking for the next thing to be negative. So I have people tell me, you know, this happened, and this happened. Like it's something not even that negative, right? Like, and this new patient didn't show up or something. It's like, okay, well, that's not a big deal. That's going to happen another 400 times this year. So if you're going to just be depressed every time, stop looking for shit to be bummed about. I think the other thing, and I know the situation with your doc, Brandon, that you went through, and I think this is a key step, is that you investigate, like negate all the bullshit rumors, like whatever you heard from other people, this person said this, I think they're doing that. You called that doctor and just said, hey, what's going on? Right? You'd heard she's going to quit. You'd heard she's mad. You heard she hated you, hated town, hated the practice, all this type of stuff. So you start to ask like, what's happening? And then you realize, and you may be right, she may be a nightmare. In this case, you know, you pretty much were, right? And so, but I mean, you don't know that, because it may be a misunderstanding. Sometimes you're like, whoa, that's not at all what was reported to me. So I think, you know, sometimes that's a difficult phone call for people.
Yeah.
It's calling that patient. It's calling that employee. It's doing the investigative work yourself, so you can at least rule out like what ifs or bullshit theories that are going to come, you know, down the pipeline later that never even were worth your time and worrying about.
It was kind of awkward, but I knew I would get some valuable information out of that call, whether it was something I said or should have said differently or whatever. You're right, some of it was just her, I think, but I learned some valuable things about how to explain the position that we were advertising. How do I expect her to train and different things like that? I think I will be better next time, but the phone call was awkward, but I'm glad I made it.
Well, and I think you, like anything, there's probably always a small percentage, if not a large percentage, of it's your fault, right? So there's always something we can do. We always could have done something a little better. Now, like I said, that may have been, we could have hired better. It may have been, we never brought that person into our life. Right? There's things that you could have done on the front end to avoid that. But there's also things, sometimes that person was great and they just didn't get the leadership that they needed along the way. You know, you just threw them into the mix, not you in this particular case I'm not talking about, but I mean, some people just like they hire a front desk person, they hire a waitress, they hire an associate, right? And they just throw them to the wolves. And then they can't believe they didn't respond exactly the way that they wish they would have. And they act horrified by what comes out of their mouth. They didn't know what to say, right? So I mean, you got to spend the time doing that. And it takes a long time. Don't make the mistake of thinking a good person is just going to roll with it, because there's so many things that are particular to your business that you've got to train that person on, test them on, go through practicals on, you know, all this type of stuff, see what they can do in role-playing sessions well before you set them free to your customers or your patients.
So then what about the situations where truly it's out of your control, but it affects you most, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for us, that's like the health department, right? That's mm-hmm. a government passing down some bullshit regulations about how you practice, and you're humming along and killing it in practice and doing everything. And along comes some guy, you know, in some cubicle that says like, well, here's, you have to practice this way now, mm-hmm. or you can't do this. Yeah. Again, I would sit and kind of just soak it all in a little bit and start to say, you know, what are the goods? What are the bads? Okay, great. There's not a single good. Okay, great. That sometimes could be it. Here's the bads I need to address. And sometimes it'll make you, COVID's the best example ever. Yep. It makes you uh-huh. modify, right? So, I mean, restaurants for one point, shit, we can't open for business. There's no good on that. The good news is we can have a weird patio out on the street, I guess. Like that could be good. And then
to go drinks, to go drinks are good, I think. And they haven't gone away.
In general, to go in yeah. general. So that's why yeah. some of these people dialed in to go. And they have these beautiful patios out on the street at such mm-hmm. a high level that you know, that they survived. And so
the QR reader menus, like those things popped up out of nowhere. Yeah. Like I was just going to say, there's a lot of innovation during times of challenge where you're like, shit, I have to think of something. Can't open my business because the health department said so. So I agree. I was just going to say that COVID created a lot of
it. And if it's business, it honestly, if it's business and it's tough on you, it's tough on every one of your competitors. Mm-hmm. So right now it's a race to survive, and the people that survive are going to thrive because a lot of people are going to go away. Whether it's a housing crash that gets rid of a ton of realtors, or COVID gets rid of a ton of restaurants, and it did, and it's sad for those restaurants, but the elite survived, right? The elite probably expanded and were buying up properties and doing everything they needed to do to get through. And so realize that's the silver lining. Nothing in your business is a silver lining. Your opportunity to expand and dominate the market here pretty soon at a higher level, that's a silver lining. Sorry, Chelsea, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, in our world, like a lot of times it's like the construction things that are like might be holding things up for one reason or another. And I've seen a lot of offices and staffs be able to actually dive in deeper to training in different offices or get exposed to different, you know, different situations in new offices and things like that. So even if it's out of your control, you just have to find a way to like make use of the time or, you know, the different, whatever the circumstances. I think there's always something you can do to better the situation a little bit, at least.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I've probably opened, I don't know, I'm going to guess, been part of 65 practices opening them up. And so if I hadn't gone through adversity, and every one of them had adversity, every single one of them, some were easier than others, but they all had little tiny challenges. If I hadn't gone through that, I would be no better than I was day one, because they would have been like, just open, just open, just open, right? It's never that easy. But the fact that what makes an expert, whether you're a business person, a chiropractor, or a pro quarterback, right? You've been faced with adversity and you know how to respond to that. Tom Brady's who Tom Brady is because he's thrown picks in the fourth quarter. He's been sacked, he's fumbled, he's had shit coaches. He's had fans boo him. He's had players drop balls. He's had all kinds of stuff happen. So he starts to know, and that becomes the knowledge base that he has going into a game. Entrepreneurs are the same way. You've been through it. So when you get faced with this, I think you find that some people are like, how are you so calm? And it's like, well, this is part of the plan. We knew this was coming. It's not that big of a deal. It sucks. We'll work through it. Yes, it'll cost us thousands. Yes, it'll delay us weeks, if not months. But at the same time, it's all going to work out fine. It always, always does if you just keep your nose down and keep working it, I assure you.
Some of that stuff has forced me to do things I never want to do. Like we to open franchises in certain states, there's certain rules and regulations about doctors that can open them or non-doctor. And I didn't know any of that stuff a year ago. I was forced to read it because it's about as boring as my big toe. Mm-hmm. But I had to read that stuff and understand it. If I was going to start to sell offices to people that weren't necessarily chiropractors, mm-hmm. what's the law? I had to set it up correctly, accurately. So they were protected. We were protected. Mm-hmm. So as much as that was a challenge and I hated it, it forced me to learn and grow. Like you said, Jay, now I'm like, all right, cool. I know how to do that in this state. I know how to do it in this state.
Right.
Where before I would have never even pursued it. So.
Well, and we've had dead weight come in and out of our life in this company, and every company has. And at the time, it was a huge pain in the butt. You know, I've had people that I poured into quit on Wednesday before Thanksgiving and tell me they're not coming back on Monday. Right. And it's just like, okay, what do you do with someone that has no integrity, that pathetic of a person? Right. Well, you go in and just save it and then make them look silly, you know, which we did. And so there's so many offices that we have that were adversity that are now some of the best offices in the company. And because we came in and what you do is you get the right team in place and you get that team inspired for the right reason, buy into your vision. They want to help people. They believe in what they do. You know, they hire a good team and then you watch it just dominate. There's no bigger proof of that than the same office struggling. And then you switch out just the doctor or the leader. And then you give it 2-3 months and it blows up and it's highly successful. Same lead, same neighborhood, same parking, same landlord, same everything, different leader, multi-million dollar practice, struggling practice. And we've seen that many, many times. So it's very possible. And I can't stress enough, if you see it as an opportunity, it changes the way that you view adversity and you don't dread it. You're kind of like, yes, this is my chance. This is how I show what I got.
Mm-hmm. I think a big thing there, though, you took an action step, and I know some of the scenarios you're referencing in light. I lived through those with you. Mm-hmm. You took action step, massive action steps. You could have sat around and complained about the doctor that quit before Thanksgiving. You could have complained about the landlord that was an asshole and raised your rent, but you didn't. You maybe did for a day or an hour or whatever, mm-hmm. but then you just got on with it, found a solution, moved forward. Too many people, I think, get stuck in like they kind of like that complaining or listen, woe is me. They're talking about all this stuff that's happening to them instead of figuring out solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see stuck there often.
I'll tell you exactly what I did. I actually found it on Thanksgiving morning in that particular case. It wasn't even the Wednesday. It was Thanksgiving morning.
Happy Turkey Day.
So I know. I remember I was kind of prepping and stuff like that. My little period of time off was going to throw for like 7 touchdowns at the Turkey Bowl. And so I dominated, won another family MVP. Got through that, then came back and
pulled
then
started the calf to process. Muscle,
that was years later. Years later. This is when I was still young. But yes, I mean, so like that stuff's going to happen. So that was a good example too, because it's like, okay, should I wreck Thanksgiving, panic, freak out? Nothing's going to happen today.
Right.
Right. So I'm not going to, I don't have, you know, how many Thanksgivings do you have? 90 Thanksgivings in your life if things go well. I'm not going to wreck one of those with my family and friends and kids and things like that. There's no way. I won't allow those people that satisfaction because that's why they did that. Uh-huh. So I enjoy it. I have a great time. I rally the troops that weekend. You know, you get your resources together. You scramble for a couple weeks. You find a fantastic leader to put in their place. And then the rest is history, that they dominate. And yeah. The beauty is karma usually takes care of some of those people. And so some of these same people that tried to put you in a tough spot, and you know, it's the old like adage of like, if you're not creating haters, you're probably not doing enough. Those people are gonna just, there's nothing you can do that makes their life more hell than just continue to succeed and just continue to win because that drives them crazy. And so, you know, that to me is fun. And yeah, haters fuel what I do. Just like the people that I'm working hard for, that fuels what I do. But all those come together. There's nothing I can't make motivation for me to succeed. Whether you hate me, you love me, or you're indifferent, like I'm going to find a way to make that something inspiring to me. And we could go over, this could be a weekend show of people that have pissed us off that we want to just crush, quite honestly. And there's people that trusted us and we want to prove them right. Right. And we bust ass for them too. So, you know, we bring a smile to each other's face just by talking about it because there's some funny stories here. Maybe someday we can get to, but the motivation is just incredible that you get. But you've got to process it correctly and you can't get too emotional emotional will lead you to do dumb decisions and fail.
Yeah. I think that's a key point you said. Not everyone can flip that switch of like, all right, I'm just going to let that simmer on the back burner a second, enjoy Thanksgiving, and then tear it up right away. They'll let it destroy them. If you can just pause for a moment, take it in.
Yep.
Then I think you're all right.
Yep.
One thing I see though, like just sitting here thinking about all the different situations with different people, is that honestly, there's a chunk of them, probably a good like 25% of the people, that have a harder time taking a look within or look at themselves and seeing and being able to identify that they might be part of the reason why this, you know, adversity happened, or their patient, whatever, their employee quit. And so I don't know what's a good way to have people be able to take a look at that, like just take it all the way back to the very beginning of when that employee started. Did I provide the training for them, or did I, like, how can you have the people who aren't able to do that as easily be able to take a step back and look at what caused this? You know, yeah. I don't have a problem like admitting when I'm wrong, but I know a lot of people who do. And that, I think that's hard to teach, you know, like,
I think you have to take a realistic look at it. Quite honestly, one of the answers is you're not an entrepreneur. Like, for some people, they're like, I don't ever want to call on Thanksgiving morning causing drama. I just want to get my paycheck. I want to be known I'm paid on Thanksgiving, off all 4 days. I'll go back. And that's great. That's not a bad thing. That's a majority of the world would rather be in that case, that scenario, right? And so they're not going to have that same, like, buy a jet, create your own schedule, live your dream. I mean, like, they're going to have an amazing life, and they can make a shit ton of money as well because they can invest properly in things like that. But everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, especially now. Everyone's like, I want to be an entrepreneur, right? It used to not even be that. It wasn't a thing that people like if your kid's like, I want to be an entrepreneur right now, you're like, oh, I'm so proud. That's amazing. Like 20, 30 years ago, you're like, oh, fuck, what does that even mean? Like, you're not even going to make a living, right? And so you have to realize, like, entrepreneurs is tough, and it's cool as hell. And I love it, right? You guys know that. I love it. I think it's just the most amazing challenge to get through and succeed, but it's not for everybody. The other people that it is for still, you just have to learn. I think you have to, you remember, like, podcasts like this and be like, all right, this sucks. I'm going to give this a shot. This isn't going to be the end of my business. Let me write a list of pros and cons. Let's put a patch on this thing and just get through till I can have a calmer head, think it through, and go through all the steps that we talked about, and then realize that things will fix themselves. If you're not going to jail or the IRS isn't shutting your place down, you can absolutely fix things.
Yep.
And probably even then you can with the IRS, because it was probably a mistake on their part. Right. But I mean, those are things that are like, okay, shit, that's a pretty big deal, because there's a lock on your door and you can't figure this out. You can work with landlords, you can rehire employees, you can retrain staff, you can win people back. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can do that you can get that all going. So chances are it's not near as big as you're making it to be in your head right now. And you need to learn. But to your point, Chelsea, if you're like, I don't want to learn, that sucked, I tried it, I still hate it, I don't want to do it, then don't be an entrepreneur. Work for somebody else, have an extraordinary income, but probably don't be the person that has to lead people through this, because there's other people depending on that leader, because their jobs depend upon it, their mortgage depends upon it, them feeding their kids depends upon it. And you have to make clear-headed decisions so you don't fuck those people over and wreck what they have going, because they've trusted you to be the leader, not someone that panics with the rest of them.
Chelsea, as you said that, I was thinking back on some of our doctors, people I worked with, and I've seen them make mistake. And we kind of know, like, they did it again. Like, you can see it. So I think a cool thing about our group, or even just your peers, or maybe your competition around you, is to learn from them. Some of these docs that just constantly don't take the advice we've given them, I'll be like, okay, that's fine. You can stay where you are, but look, you get passed by 3 other offices again this quarter. There's going to be another 3 that'll pass you the next quarter. So again, continue to function as you are if you'd like, but then I don't want to hear about all your problems with your employees, or you can't keep your staff, or start to look internally. When you're ready, then let us know. But at some point, I just kind of throw my hands up and say, it's you. You got to look at what you're doing. If not, I can't help you. So I think they have to open up to that idea or possibility. Otherwise, you can't make them change.
Yeah, we need
to talk about it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, after so many times, like, repeat offenders, like, they have to try something different. If they keep saying, oh, it's not me, it's my staff, or whatever it is, after so many, it's like, how can you not look at yourself, you know?
I think too, we didn't talk a lot about, you know, mentors and people that you trust and look up to. I mean, I think there's also a group that you can turn to when you need just help, like you're out of ideas and you got to have that group. And if you don't have that group, my father-in-law has a great talk that he does, and it's about having your personal board of directors. And so that board of directors is like, I can't remember if it was 8 or 10, or the number doesn't matter. It's how many people you trust, right? And it's random people that come in and out of your life. One could be like a mom or dad, or even if they've passed away or not, you know kind of how they would think through things, right? They would process things a lot different. And one is that high school football coach that would be angry and be, you know, like motivational and like, what would he do on this? And the other one is someone that overcame so much adversity, you know, it's amazing to you. So you have this group of people all who respond to things so differently, and kind of in your head, just go through and be like, all right, what would my dad have done during this scenario? Like, he's pretty calm. He would have talked through, he would have all this type of stuff. Okay. What would my high school football coach have done? Or he would have flipped out. He would have made a war path. He would have been, you're like, great. Those are two different things, but those are both great for me to hear. What would this other person that overcame all this adversity do? Right. And they would have probably done this because they would have realized it's not that big of a deal. It's much less important than what they've gone through, stuff like that. So, you know, your personal board of directors is something that's a really cool thing. And you have dialogue going in your brain all the time anyway. It's constantly a question of, you know, to yourself. So either real mentors in life or mentors in your brain. But I think it's also a great way to sound things off those people and kind of develop your game plan as well.
I think if it's the real ones, having the courage to ask too. I mean, there's been times when people are like maybe embarrassed. Mm-hmm. It's something they feel like they should have known, or man, I've been open longer than you. I should be kicking butt. But sometimes you just ask, like, man, what are you seeing something I'm not? Mm-hmm. Am I doing something this off? Mm-hmm. And I think that takes some courage sometimes, but the result that you can get from it is worth it.
Worse yet, if that person told you already, and you have to go back and, you know what, you were 100% right. Like, you just have to swallow your pride a little bit. I think people respect that. Just be like, you know what, I you were right, man. I appreciate it. Wish I would have listened to you. I didn't, but here I am. So because you were so right on that, do you have any feedback for where I am right now? I really value that opinion. No one's going to be a jerk about that. I mean, like, we all make decisions. We don't listen to every recommendation people make for us ever, right? If it is, we'd all be financially well off and physically fit perfectly, and you know, we listen to every expert in the world and be perfect, and that's not reality. So yeah, don't hesitate to come back to some of those friends if you trust them, and if they make you feel bad about it, then they're not one of the people you need to be checking in with.
Kick them off your board of directors if they're not nice.
Put some adversity in their life.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through some final thoughts, man. You get gut punched Monday, you're feeling good, you walk into the office, and then there it is. What do you do? How do you process that?
It's gonna sound kind of weird or cliche. My first thing is I try to have thankfulness for the moment of like, all right, there's something I'm supposed to learn here. And this is probably after the pissed off phase and the smash the table, Hulk smash the table phase, but what am I supposed to learn? So I'm thankful there, because that means some growth is about to happen. If I look back on all these adversities, if I hadn't had them, you know, kind of like you alluded earlier, Jay, I wouldn't have grown. I wouldn't be where we are if we hadn't had some of those. So trying to be thankful, even in a shitty moment.
Like it, yeah. Chelsea?
I think don't go into victim mode for sure, and just focus on moving forward. I mean, everyone's going to have tough things in their life. Don't freak out, because a lot of times I'll just be like, okay, in 1 week, in 2 weeks, in 1 month, depending on the situation, is this going to be that big of a deal? I use that example with my kids all the time. They'll freak out about, you know, the wrong shoelaces in the shoes or something like super silly. And I'm like, is this something you really need to freak out about, or can we fix it? And in like a day, is it going to be better? You know? And they're like, okay, yeah, it's not that big of a deal, or it won't be that big of a deal tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, that's a good example, because there's times that we literally watch our toddler like panic about something like that, and we laugh at them because we know it's funny. Like, really, there's other people probably laughing at you right now because you're.
Well, yeah, in their world, that is a big deal, and just like the person, yeah, you know, so because that's the biggest thing of their problems that they have at that time in their life. But I think that oftentimes adults, you know, and business owners and employees react like that sometimes with little mini grown-up tantrums.
I would say take home point from this, I say it all the time, but I'm a firm believer, like, don't look for blame. And so there's going to be times that it's legitimately not your fault, but just by blaming everybody, blame like the most pathetic trait of an entrepreneur. And it's really just a trait that's going to lead you to going broke. So as much as you want to blame everyone whose fault this is, you know, do with everything we talked about, but then just look for answers, look for solutions. Every time that you're looking at blaming, you're just wasting time. That's time you could have been thinking of solutions, mm-hmm. and now you're just building up anger. Let it go. Remember, right, there'll be a chance to pay back down the road, but just by blaming and blaming everybody else, it really is not going to matter that much. And I don't think it's going to, you know, get you where you want to get. So that would be my take home. Good call today. You know, this is something you'll face all the time. Most of you probably already have faced it. Some of you guys are wizards at handling this. Other guys struggle, you know? So, I mean, it's a trait that you're going to have to master if you're going to be successful at a high level, which I know most of the listeners want to. So appreciate your time. Please rate and review this podcast in any format that you're listening to. If you can share it and spread the word, we would appreciate it. Like us on our pages. And, you know, just get that word out of good entrepreneurial stuff coming out to people, trying to get everyone successful and achieve all their visions and goals. So we appreciate your time and we look forward to the next episode. Peace out.